Hello, and welcome back to Catch Some Z's, Season 2, Episode 4. As promised, you are getting this episode at its scheduled time, since Episode 3 got to you later than it should have, due to furloughings, if you've been tuned in. Before I get into the episode, I want to say thank you to everyone who tuned into the IG Live last week with Adultin Series, Kabra, Malik, Paulette. Thank you for inviting me on. We had a really productive and thoughtful conversation with Adultin's Quarantine Combo Series. So if you are not already hip to them, please go check out the Adultin web series. Go to their Instagram, their Twitter, do all of the things. Follow them. It's great content. And they've been incredibly supportive of Catch Some Z's for basically since day one. And so I love being able to collaborate with them in ways that I feel are really, you know, impactful. So thank you to them, and thank you to everyone who tuned in. So regarding today's episode, you may be a little bit confused as to why I chose this particular title when this season's overall theme has been money. And if you haven't noticed, I've been like picking out song lyrics as titles of the episode. So you know, the context of this particular line in the song, like this particular line is not money focused. The next few lines are, but I promise everything will become clear. So please stay tuned while I explain everything. So this is going to be as close to a relationship episode that we're going to see for this particular season. Because during my extended periods of reflection, I've started to realize some unhealthy habits that I have participated in the past. So if you're new here, I should let you know that I've been abstaining from dating, sex, and all of the related interactions with men since July of 2018. I've spoken more about this, particularly in the episode No Sex Zone, as well as others. But I've been able to take a deeper dive into a lot more since that episode, which we're going to talk about today. So to provide some more context to anyone who may be unfamiliar, I spent my life from about, you know, age 4 onward being romantic. I wanted the fairy tale. I wanted the epic romance. I wanted the love story for the new age and for the sixth page, to quote Miss Lana Del Rey. And as I got older, it became more and more unattainable. And I realized that all of that romance represented a form of validation for me that I interpreted as, if I'm unsuccessful with romance and all that it comes with, I'm doing something wrong. And if you knew me at really any point in my life, you'd probably be surprised to find out that that's how I looked at everything. Because beyond, you know, how I speak to myself in my subconscious or whatever, you know, sure, I was always having a crush on somebody, but no one ever expected me to be the kind of girl that was all, you know, romance or die. And so as it turns out, I was wildly influenced and perhaps even poisoned by the media because all of the ideas of romantic partnerships that I idolized were not inspired by anything that actually existed in my real life. Growing up, I grew up under the same roof as both of my parents, and we operated as a family, but my mom and dad were never married. In the earlier years, I remember seeing them in disagreements more than I saw displays of affection. And also, none of my friends' parents had anything that particularly stood out to me either. A lot of my friends were living with, you know, only one of their parents, and the people who had both parents in the house just kind of seemed to be going with the flow. And then when I was 13, my dad actually left us, happened to be in the middle of the iCarly I Go to Japan special, which also happened to be a few weeks after my birthday. And, you know, I say left because he had his stuff to do and, you know, he just took action, I guess. He's still in my life very much, but obviously not under the same roof and stuff and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, All of this to say, when it came to positive romantic experiences, I never stood a chance, period. So the thing about, you know, growing and developing and healing and reflecting is that you have to reckon with some stuff that doesn't make you feel the best all the time. So even as I was prepping this episode, I was already kind of down beforehand because there's just a lot on my mind and, you know, there's a lot going on. And now, you know, I'm about to get into a conversation about old relationships. So it's a little bit, just like a little bit uncomfortable. So anyway, the healing and the reckoning led me to a pretty somber discovery about the people who were in my life while I was trying to create my own romantic fairy tale. So I've only been in two serious relationships, but both of those guys came around when I was facing a lot of turmoil on the inside, and admittedly, you know, a large part of why they were even able to get in was because I wanted a distraction and they were available. And I'm not really proud of that, because in order to draw that conclusion, I have to admit that to a degree that I was using them. And, you know, using people is not in my code. It's not what I do. And, you know, at the time, you know, that wasn't what it was at the time, because I was really invested in everything and in the relationships while I was in them. But I also knew that, you know, there were times when I was unhappy or dissatisfied, but couldn't really pinpoint why. So now that I'm looking back on it, you know, looking back on everything with less baggage, I realized that during the early stages of both of those relationships, I was dealing with worries about money that were beyond my control. And both times I wasn't necessarily even eager to enter into a relationship with these guys too, for varying reasons, not just money, but both of them were persistent and available. And to me, they represented a consistency that I didn't have in other areas of my life. So I had inadvertently signed them up for something that they weren't capable of doing. All of this, you know, I learned post-relationship, right? So for my high school boyfriend, I was excited because he was like my first ever boyfriend, but we were very different from the beginning. But he distracted me from, you know, my mom's different bouts of unemployment and the worries that I had about financing college, as well as other things that were going on that, you know, he just didn't have anything to do with. So if you couple all of that with my desire for romance, obviously it creates a very perfect mess. Plus, you can't really expect a high school boy to be able to handle adult themes regardless. So from the jump, it was basically a setup. And then my boyfriend during college really never stood a chance because, if you know, I take those issues from high school, make them do hard drugs. That's what that relationship was. So he and I were more different than my previous relationship. He was also older than I was. We had a very different set of values, and he himself was also dealing with a lot of grown folks' issues that needed more professional assistance than I could offer as, you know, this 19 and 20 year old, you know, girlfriend. But he also came around right around the time from the story last week, during my sophomore year, when I didn't think I was going to be able to come back to college because I couldn't pay for it. So during that period, I spoke about it, but I was worried all the time. I was crying every Sunday for like, I don't even know how many weeks consecutively. So he literally, to me, represented an escape from all of that. And there were plenty of times during our 17 months together where we both questioned like the validity of the relationship. And each time I ignored every red flag, every argument, every sign telling me to cut it off, because my priorities were all out of whack. And I didn't really even realize that until the end of the relationship. So that's just some context for you. But, you know, this is not a relationship episode. But for me, at least, it's very important to recognize how my romantic relationships were impacted by my relationship with money. You know, so I'm also, you know, because this is my show, I'm not sitting here and also saying that I assume 100% responsibility for the demise of either of these relationships. But I'm all about accountability. And I can admit where I went wrong. I would say that, you know, my issues, though, I realized them after the fact, and I'd like to think that they were relatively subtle throughout the relationship, mostly internal, like, battles I was facing, you know, because my high school boyfriend ended up embarrassing me publicly, and the college one called me selfish when I told him that I wouldn't be waiting for him on the outside if he ever went to prison. You know, there was never an indication that I was going to be a prison wife. Off topic. The point is, the moral of the story here is not to get into relationships when you're broke and sad, because it's just not viable. And it's also, you know, unfair to your partner for you to be dealing with stuff that they have no idea about. And, you know, I guess you trying to use them to help you get over those hurdles, especially if they don't know that that's what you're doing, right? Especially for me, again, like, I didn't really realize that that's what I did, well, really until the last, within the last 18 months or so, when I was, you know, really thinking about everything. So it's all about accountability, though. So we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back. So if you tuned in last week to the Instagram Live, or if you've just, you know, been a listener, and or if you know me in person, you know that I'm not a big fan of being in spaces that I know I'm not meant to be in. And, you know, now that I've taken a leave of absence from men, I'm in a better position to take a proper audit of past behaviors and interactions that didn't serve me. So, you know, I've used this time to reassess my priorities in all aspects of my life, and I'm really starting to see the results. So in the last episode, last week's episode, I spoke about how once I started to adjust my thinking around money is when I started to gain more confidence in my habits, and ultimately when I started making more money. So the very thing that I had been worried about for all those years, I regained control, and then the situation became better for me. I still have not picked dating back up, but my mindset around it has changed. So I'm also not here saying that my dating habits directly correlate with my money issues or lack thereof or whatever, but because I'm now more cognizant of my money issues, and, you know, I kind of did work to reframe my mind around that, now I can apply those same principles towards the boys, as well as other areas of life. So I say don't date when you're broke and sad, because we as people need to be mindful of what we're bringing into situations with other people. And that's in any relationship, not just romantic ones. And it also depends on how you date. You know, whether you date to marry or you date for fun or whatever the case, there can be some serious consequences to being irresponsible with your baggage, whether it's emotional baggage, financial baggage, you know, baggage in history, whatever. So, you know, I'm grateful because the experiences that I had were relatively harmless because they both happened before I was 21 and while I was still in college. So it wasn't like there were kids being impacted by mom and dad's decisions. There was no marriage and the associated taxes or whatever legal documents go with marriage. We didn't have bills. We didn't own property or other assets that would be affected by our decisions. And I know that plenty of people factor money and finances into their decision making for certain things in relationships, which is important. I can't say that I believe it's the most important thing that will make or break a relationship, but it's definitely not something that should be ignored. But I'm also 23, single, and, you know, have vowed to myself that I'm no longer going to be putting myself in compromising relationships with questionable men. So there's also that. But my opinion on the money thing will probably evolve more with, you know, just a variety of experiences. But, you know, I've seen my friends, they'll do Instagram polls. They're like, oh, what's more important, you know, being financially stable or, you know, having a connection with the person you're with? And it's like, I don't think you can necessarily rank certain things, you know, like, I know there are plenty of people, oftentimes men in particular, who will hold off on proposing to the woman that they love because, you know, he feels that he's not in a financial place to do that. He's like, oh, I want to be making X amount of dollars before I do that. But then, you know, suddenly 8 years has passed and she's waiting for a wedding that she doesn't get. And then she leaves and then he's like, oh, no, that happens a lot. And so there's, you know, there's people who want to be in a certain place, but then there's people who, you know, if you get into a relationship with your partner and let's say you've got no loans, like maybe you don't have student loans and your partner's got like $200,000 worth of loans and you decide to get married, you know, now those loans become yours as well. So obviously there are things to think about, but communication and understanding, I think, are very important for all of these types of things. So the other thing to note, though, is that it's not just about money, right? Remember, I'm talking about personal experiences and some correlations that I've identified for, like, me, myself. So, you know, I also think, you know, what if I wasn't worried about money in high school? That doesn't necessarily mean that my boyfriend and I wouldn't have broken up. You know, we still would have if we even got together in the first place. And I probably would have broken up with my college boyfriend sooner if I was less stressed about finances, or flip the script if any of those guys were the ones with money issues instead of me, or any remix of the scenario, the outcome would have still probably been pretty similar to what it was. Because again, it wasn't just the money that was an issue. And again, I was in high school. It wasn't like we were discussing finances. I had my own personal issue, and it was one of the many things that I let seep into our together space. So at the end of the day, the issues on my end mostly stemmed from a warped sense of self-worth. And in my case, again, not in everyone's case, but my case, one of the factors that contributed to that sense of self-worth was finances. Which then brings me to my hiatus from men. On the surface, it's about dating better quality people, but the foundation still comes back to me and making sure that I show up for myself in the way that I deserve. And that includes taking care of myself financially. And because I'm so dedicated to the entire cause, I'm willing to take all the time I need in order to get it right. I told myself that, you know, back in July 2018, it started, you know, from, it was supposed to be, let's see if we can keep it pushing until the end of the year. And I did. And then I was like, all right, let's see if we can go through until like Easter. And I did. And then I was like, all right, it's hot girl summer, but you know, hot girl summer with an asterisk. And I made it through the summer. And I was like, if I can make it through the summer, I'm just going to push it out until 2020. And that's exactly what I did. And now 2020 has arrived. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll lift the embargo. But I mean, it's not that I didn't. I'm just not taking any active steps to change the status. But at the same time, I'm still doing a lot of work internally, because the more I learn, you know, the more I want to continue to learn, and the more disciplined I become, the more I want to then be able to exercise that discipline, if you know what I mean. So that's where I'm at. And I successfully got through talking about situations that sometimes make me uncomfortable just now for the podcast, and you guys are all going to hear it. And one of the gentlemen I mentioned were cool, so I doubt he's going to listen to this, but if he does, no beef, bro. And the other one, I don't think he's tuned in. Yep. All right, so gonna take a quick break and we're gonna get out of here. Alrighty, folks. So I don't think I spilled my guts just now, but you know, it's pretty sensitive stuff. Or at least it once was very sensitive stuff. I'm obviously, you know, pretty removed from those things. I'm now what, almost 3 years out of my most recent long-term relationship. So the last one was 17 months long, and I believe it ended in June? Ended in the month of June. And the high school one was 2.5 years long. But then, you know, that was years ago. So that experience is less, it's not as fresh. So I'm 3 years out of my most recent relationship and about 2 full years of abstinence as of this recording. And in that time period, some things that I've done/accomplished include finishing college once. And again, as of this recording, there's about 12 days before I'll be officially complete with my master's degree. I've gone to see my favorite artists in concert, including Childish Gambino's last tour as Childish Gambino. I visited 4 countries in 3 months, 3 of those countries happening within 1 month. And of course, as you probably know, I started a podcast. And, you know, for a long time, I felt foolish because I rationalized that the desires of the young romantic 4-year-old or the 8-year-old or 12-year-old, whatever, I rationalized that the desires of her young little heart were unattainable. I had accepted that the things I wanted out of life were out of reach because that's what the world told me. And, you know, my family has always said, you know, you deserve the best, never settle for less than the best, you know, you're destined for greatness, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not like they weren't reinforcing the values that I have inherently, but I just really let external factors get to me. I had accepted that the things I wanted out of life were out of reach because, like, for what? And so I thought, you know, my mind was like, you know, I'm Black, so there's limitations. I'm a woman, so there's limitations. I want too much, so there's limitations. Lower your expectations because no one or nothing will ever achieve them. But the reality is, what I'm coming to learn, and this is again another part of the process, is that I'm actually going to get everything that I want simply because I say so. And that's something I've been saying. If you followed the account for a while, you've seen the Instagram graphic. There's an updated one up there now. And that's just it. I can't control what the world dishes out, but I can sure as hell control what I put out into the world. And I'm committed to being better than the day before. I'm committed to kindness. I'm committed to excellence. I'm committed to passion and pleasure and to beautiful things. And I'm going to do what I have to do in order to achieve those things. And that's not to say it's not going to be uncomfortable, you know, because yeah, I mean, I tell my friends, they ask for my abstinent updates and they're like, dude, like what? And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's not necessarily something that's so difficult, but it would be fun to engage in some physical activities again. I'm not going to lie, but the caliber of the people I've been choosing has been poor, and that's simply unacceptable. So I would rather continue to abstain than lower my standards and diminish my boundaries. You see what I'm saying? You know, I could, you know, decide to continue to live in the apartment that I currently live in, right? There's been squirrels in the wall, guys. It's, you know, cheap, I guess, and affordable, quote unquote. But there's been squirrels in the wall, and I'm simply not the type of person who is comfortable living with squirrels in my wall. And so I'm going to do the uncomfortable thing and move out and have to live at home with mom for a little bit until I can find the apartment that I deserve. You see what I mean? That's what I'm doing. And so, like I said, I'm going to have everything that I want, you know, in part because I'm going to work for it, but also because even when people tell me no, like people aren't like in control of me. And I know that's not like a bold thing to say, but literally there are people who are in control of things that, like, you know, affect us. But, you know, I don't know how else to explain it in a way that, like, makes sense. But I think also that's part of it. It's not necessarily supposed to make sense. It's not supposed to be a, you know, checklist type of thing. It's not supposed to be here are the steps you take to get to, like, it's more so I just believe it so strongly that it has no choice but to happen. And that's just on the period. So that's the wrap. That's a wrap for this episode. I guess kind of short and sweet, but, you know, to the point, and I hope you got fed. We'll be returning to our regular schedule, so you can expect episode 5 in about 3 weeks, or at least 3 weeks from this release date. If everything goes according to plan, which, you know, I'm flexible, but right now the way the plan has it, episode 5 will be the last episode for this particular season, this story arc, the money thing, and there will be another hiatus. But just because we are on hiatus doesn't mean that there will be no more content, because that's a lie. I just need you all to stay tuned like you have been doing, and all will be revealed. Again, I've been telling you I've been working on projects, and that's all I'm going to say. Again, I'm reiterating my whole, you know, not saying too much too soon thing. But just know that I am working on things, and of course, you all know I'm furloughed. So, I mean, we've got the time, right? And I want to be able to use it wisely, be productive. You know, I'm not pushing myself into overdrive or anything like that, but I am using this time that I wouldn't have otherwise had to do things that I just typically wouldn't have had the time and or energy and or creative spirit to accomplish. So like I said, just stay tuned. Everything will be revealed. So thank you for tuning in, and remember that you are capable of getting everything that you want out of life, no matter what it is. And that's all I have for you. And I will see you soon.